shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, happy Wednesday morning to you. Feels like a Friday to some of us because, you know, we have the holidays off and everything. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. And I am really grateful that Carrie is here. Carrie, a lot of people are like, hey, it's holidays. We're not coming in, but including Zach. Zach, who is not here. But Carrie's like, yeah, I'm going to come and represent the Water Conservancy District. Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome. Appreciate Thanks that. For having us.
You brought a friend, too.
I did.
Tell us about your friend.
My friend is Doug Bennett, and he is absolutely phenomenal. When Zach asked us to oversee the radio program in his absence, he's traveling for Thanksgiving, I immediately thought of Doug Bennett because this gentleman next to me has over 30 years of experience and has worked in the water industry, pioneered the water conservation program at Southern Nevada Water Authority, which is internationally praised.
Wow.
And he knows everything. And I'm a smart girl.
That's high praise, Doug.
I bring the best with me. So I was really happy that Doug was willing to join me this morning.
And I do want to say that I solved the Wordle in two this morning. Seriously.
So he really does know everything.
He's a genius. I ask him so many questions, and he has yet to say, I don't know that.
Oh, well, then you know somebody's not giving you the straight scoop if they sometimes don't know
he's a wealth of information. He's a valuable resource. We're super lucky to have him at the Water District.
Doug Bennett, Conservation Manager at the Washington County Water Conservancy District. Doug, tell us about yourself a little bit.
Oh, well, as Carrie said, I'm old. So
oh, no.
I've been doing this for a very long time. So I originally started out as a horticulturist for a state university. And so I learned a lot about water-efficient plants, a lot about irrigation, soils, mm-hmm. and so forth. And then I discovered in the 90s that urban areas were figuring out that landscaping was really the key to their water demands. We were putting more water into our yards than we were using inside of our buildings.
True.
And so we had to change some of that. And I went to work for the city of Albuquerque back in the mid-1990s. And we started doing conservation programs focused on how we landscape our yards, what plants we use, the type of irrigation systems.
Now, I just learned this about Albuquerque. It's actually very high elevation, isn't it?
Oh,
one of the highest elevation
mile
cities
high.
In the country.
Yeah, everybody thinks of Denver, but Albuquerque is also about a mile high. So,
And I assume that there were some special challenges water-wise being such a high elevation, too.
Not so much that, because that's an advantage, really,
okay.
right? When you're at low elevations, it's going to be hotter. It's often drier. So mm-hmm. when you're at higher elevations, you get a little more moisture and you have cooler temperatures. So, just a beautiful valley there. And one of the things they learned there was they thought that they had this inexhaustible supply of groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based on 1960s hydrology. And then they discovered that some of their wells were starting to suck air. They thought they could just poke mm-hmm. a hole in the ground anywhere and start pumping, and it would never go away. It was like Lake Superior. And they discovered in the early 90s that there was an issue, and there wasn't as much water in that aquifer as they originally thought. And had a new mayor come in, and one of his initiatives were, we need to figure out what we've got and how to use it most efficiently.
So. Nice. And you were, I guess, point man on that.
I learned so much because that was the transition from being a horticulturist for a university to being part of a water utility. So, I mean, I didn't know a lot about washing machines and toilets and shower flow and things like that. I didn't know how utilities functioned, where revenue came from, how projects were funded, writing items for city councils, things like that. So I learned a lot about how government functions and government's role in making sure that we have a clean, reliable source of water for our citizens.
Okay, after Albuquerque, where'd you end up?
Well, then I went to Southern Nevada Water Authority in Las Vegas. So mm-hmm. I got 5 years of experience in Albuquerque, and then somebody all my jobs. I was never looking for a job. Jobs seem to find you, right?
So that would be nice.
Somebody comes up and goes, "Hey, did you see this ad for the Southern Nevada Water Authority?" And they go, "This looks like exactly what you do." And of course, when you're in your 30s, you got itchy feet, right? You just want to go, go, go. And so I moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, and I got to tell you, Andy, I was awestruck. Because I'd really never been to Las Vegas. But I get there, and I have this huge amount of responsibility for this much bigger community's conservation program. And they have signs in Las Vegas that rival the tallest building in Albuquerque, New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
So I was just like, how do people drive down the freeway and not just crash into each other with all this stuff going on?
Yeah.
So really, really interesting, a big change for me. But one of the exciting things I learned there was that the resort industry was not the problem. So while everybody drives down the strip and you go, wow, look at these huge buildings, these fountains, these swimming pools, the resort sector in Las Vegas only used 3% of the water resources in that community.
Wow.
Yeah. So who would have known? We didn't know till we did the math, right, and figured it out. So you make these a lot of assumptions sometimes about what's going on based on what you see, but the data may tell a different story.
All right. So and how long were you in Vegas?
I did that for 23 years.
23 years, yeah. Wow.
And then Carrie reached out to me and said, "Hey, can you look at this job description?" So again, can you look at this job description and make sure
Carrie found you?
I was being sneaky.
Really?
I was like, "Hey, Doug. You're
stealing?
Yeah.
Look at this job description and tell me if you think it's thorough." And
it's a great place to, work the rest of your career out.
I had the privilege of being from Las Vegas. I was very familiar with Doug and his work.
Yeah. Okay.
So. And this is a wonderful place to be. I mean, I got to tell you, Andy, when I first moved here, people said, "So how are you enjoying Utah?" And I said, "Man, the people are so nice that I'm just getting exhausted trying to reciprocate." It's fabulous to be here. I mean, I tell you, I love everything about it. And that's one of our challenges. People love this place. And a lot of people, including myself, are moving into southern Utah. And that's a big challenge because we have a very limited water supply here and we need to be careful about how we use it.
So talk about your job a little bit, Doug. Conservation manager. I mean, when I first heard that title, I'm like, okay, so he's the guy in charge of the ads that tell us not to use that much water.
Yeah, that's actually Carrie that does that.
Yeah,
we often work together to come up with witty things, right? It's terrifying to think that her and I would just be brainstorming.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. So if you ever hear about, get rid of your lazy lawn, that was Carrie and I, That lawn that just lays there looking pretty and drinking
the
all day.
Lazy grass. Yeah.
Lazy grass.
Get off your lazy grass.
Yeah. So there are really four things that are going to make the difference in our community. And when it comes to water conservation, and the first and foremost, we talked about the growth here. We absolutely have to make sure that when we build something, we're building facilities that are highly efficient, whether it's a single family home, an apartment complex, a radio or media center, whatever it is, we're making sure by code that they have highly efficient plumbing fixtures, highly efficient appliances, and that they have highly efficient landscape and irrigation systems. So we don't want to add to the challenge by building things that might need to be retrofitted down the road. Let's build them right in the first place. And excitingly, we are the only water district in the state of Utah that has gotten all of the municipalities to adopt the same high standards for water efficiency, which was a huge accomplishment. It took us about a year. But the cities here stand behind each other, and they stand behind the district, and they move in unison to support the citizens that live here. And that's pretty exciting, because a lot of times you're just looking out for the people that live in your own boundary and not worrying too much about the neighbors, but that's not the Utah way. And cities collaborate a lot.
Was it easy to do that? Because you mentioned we're the only county that actually does that.
Well, every city has its own identity, right? I mean, I was in Washington City yesterday, and it is the retail heart of the region, right? I mean, you got Home Depot, Walmart, you got Costco, you got all this stuff going on. A lot of hustle and bustle, and Washington has its character. I live in Ivins. Ivins is lights out, early bedtime, yeah. Peace and quiet, see the stars.
Unless you're at TuaCon.
And then you've got Santa Clara. Our neighbors there, Santa Clara is charming. You drive through the main street on Santa Clara. It's just charming, tree-lined streets and so forth. So every city has its own character, and they want to make sure that when they pass a law, code, or policy, that it's aligned with the way their citizens think and look at their community, mm-hmm. and the way their elected officials have presented themselves to the people that elected them. And so, yes, it takes a little bit of work, but you eventually get to what is the greater good that we're all attempting to get to. And so, yes, it was difficult, but, you know, you reach consensus. Carrie and I sat down with every one of those cities. We went through what kinds of proposals were on the table. We refined those proposals based on the feedback we got, and we found consensus. And then we met with all of those. I went to a lot of planning commission meetings, a lot of city council meetings, and got the job done. And I can't say enough about the level of support that the elected officials in southern Utah's communities have given to the issue of water.
I'm curious, and maybe you haven't been here long enough, maybe Carrie knows, when do you think these cities started taking water seriously? Like the fact that we had a finite resource, that it wasn't, you know, he mentioned Albuquerque and how they felt like it was going to last forever, and they had to come to the real reality of it. I think that has come to our leaders here in Washington County, but when did it come? How long has it been that they really realized?
I think it comes in ebbs and flows, if I can be honest. Okay. I think that, you know, if you look back at the history of the district was organized in 1962, and we were created by vote of property owners in Washington County who were concerned about water security.
Right.
And then if you look in the 1980s, you know, the community kind of ran out of water. There wasn't additional supplies for additional development. So there was another wave of insecurity. That's also when the district took on the Quail Creek project, which included the diversion dam and the reservoir and, you know, pipelines and pump stations and hydropower facilities. And so I think in times of scarcity, there's increased awareness about the value of water.
Okay,
so our goal is to make sure that we stay ahead of that demand, to make sure that we're proactively planning so that our municipal partners don't have to worry about that. The way that district is organized is a little unique. The Water Conservancy districts throughout Utah are the regional water providers. So we have the responsibility to secure and develop regional water resources to meet the demands of our municipal customers. The municipal customers manage their own systems within their jurisdictions, and they have some water, but we provide about 60% of the water that's used in our community today, and all of our municipal partners are tapped out. And so all of that additional growth, that additional demand, falls on the responsibility of the district.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're the regional wholesale water provider. So I think that when our supply is compromised, there's increased awareness about the need to conserve
every
and
time
develop
there's a
resources.
130 days without rain.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that it's cyclical, but we're very fortunate that we have very proactive leaders. We've got great team members that are working every day to make sure that we stay ahead of the demand and that we're planning adequate resources. One of the interesting things that to kind of coincide with what Doug was mentioning, one of the motivations to get all of our municipal partners to adopt those fairly aggressive water efficiency standards, they're the most aggressive in the state. We're the first county in Utah to prohibit non-functional grass at commercial, institutional, and industrial developments. We have pretty strict limits on grass in residential areas and a host of other indoor and outdoor requirements, but they are by far the most aggressive in the state. One of the reasons why we were so successful in that is because as a regional water provider, we have to treat all of our customers equally. So we couldn't allow one city to have more lenient standards than another city because they all share the same water. And so you have to have the same rules, the same opportunities, the same requirements for all of your municipal customers, because it would disproportionately shift the limited water resources that we have to another region and impact all of our other customers. So we're fortunate that our municipal customers understand that and work together and collaborate, because we do have a limited resource. We're all dependent on the same supply. We have one source of water in Washington County. Most people don't realize that, but the Virgin River watershed is our sole water source. So we have to use it and protect it and conserve it.
All right.
Yeah, right. 100%. So I mentioned there were four things.
Four things. I was going to ask you. Yeah. We got to like one or two. Sorry. So let's keep going.
So so we talked about new development, right? So we got a great handle on that. But we also have opportunities at existing homes and businesses. And so historically, water's been available, and we put in a lot of lawn grass in the region. And I'm in favor of kids having places to play. I'm in favor of having parks and soccer fields, a place for your children to run around and entertain people. But, Andy, we have about 40% of the grass in this community is what Carrie and I have labeled as lazy lawns. Mm-hmm. It's grass that the only time somebody actually walks on it, they're pushing a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And what we learned from the data is that those lawns take more than 50 gallons of water per square foot per year.
Wow.
And if you've been to the Red Hills Garden, and I know you have, right?
Many times, yeah.
The Red Hills Garden uses about 10 gallons of water per square foot per year.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful, stunning, mm-hmm. vibrant place. And so what we're trying to do is get people to reconsider their landscape and say, could you have a different plant or a different group of plants serving this aesthetic function? Maybe even doing a better job. I'm looking just here from your studio. I look down at just the house across the street and I go, boy, they got a big rectangle of grass there, but maybe a tree would look nice and maybe some flowering plants and so forth. We could be shading that home and increasing its energy efficiency. And we can do all that with a much smaller water footprint than the traditional home lawn requires.
Yeah.
And so we do that with a rebate program. We ask people to make the change, and we try to help fund the cost of that change. And we pay about 40% of the cost of those projects. So if anybody's interested in converting, look us up, wcwcd.gov, and look at our rebate programs there. Now, two other arenas, water rates. First thing we do when we open the bill, are we reading any of the messages? No. We're looking for the little box with the dollar sign on it and saying, how much do I owe? And not everybody knows this, but all of the water agencies in this region are not for profit. Every dollar that you collected just goes to pay for the operation of the water system and nothing else. It's not funding streets or pothole filling in or anything else. It's paying just for water. But we typically have these tiered rate structures. So tiered rate structures send a strong rate signal to the heaviest users while keeping water actually more affordable for the people that are moderate users.
Right.
And so those tiered rate structures and keeping the rates effective are really important to us too. That was our third item. And then the last item is we got to keep the water in the pipes, right? A certain amount of water is lost to leakage, and it's inherent. There is no city that has a completely watertight system.
Right.
And those leaks occur both on the city side, the district side, and the customer side. Because water's always trying to be somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to be working more aggressively on our side to keep the water in our pipes. And we're also going to be communicating with customers about what they can do better to keep water in their pipes. And a big initiative there are these smart meters.
Yeah.
So we have this. Do you have one?
Yeah. I don't think I do, but I know we have the Washington City Mayor on a while ago, and he was talking about how excited he was about those. And he said right away when we first started putting them in, we were able to identify several homes that had unexplained usage of water. They said, you've got a leak. And they're like, how do you know that? Well, your meter's running when nobody's even home.
Right, right.
So
it used to be somebody came by and read the meter once a month.
Right.
And then you just get this surprise bill. You know, maybe you were used to paying $60 and all of a sudden you get a bill for $228 or something.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my gosh, what happened? Well, we discovered 29 days too late
that
something's leaking on your property underground. You can't see it, and it used all this water. And so that's not good for us. It's not good for the customer. But these new meters can alert us within a matter of days that it looks like something's wrong at this property.
Yeah.
And we have a new system where we can notify those customers and let them know that, hey, your meter is running 24 hours a day. And that's very unusual. It should stop, start, just like your water use. And so we're doing a much better job at being able to let customers know something may be wrong at their property, and working very hard on keeping the water in our infrastructure as well. So that those are the four things. We're water loss, we're trying to prevent that. Having effective rates that keep water affordable, but also send a signal to people that are using crazy amounts of water. Converting landscaping on existing properties and making sure everything we build is built to a high efficiency standard.
Just so you know, Doug, I went ahead and I got involved in the whole Flip Blitz thing, and I got the rebate. We just barely got the rebate. We took out a section of a lawn that, as you mentioned, only gets walked on when you're mowing it, and put in turf and some and planted some bushes around it and everything. And,
oh, great.
I want to say I'm happy to say that I'm not a hypocrite. I actually listen to you guys and go, okay, I'll do that.
And you just finished that, so you'll really see the results on your bill probably in the next summer, right?
Yeah.
So,
it's
going to be great.
So, awesome. Okay, I got to get a weather break and a commercial break in. I have a listener has a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about it during the break so you can be a little more prepared for it.
I hope that weather break's full of rain and snow.
We got a little bit anyway. Hopefully there's more coming. For a second, I want to talk about Heartlight Funeral Services. Now, have you heard of Heartlight? They're located at 504 West Buena Vista Boulevard. They've had a store, funeral services in Cedar City for a long time. They won, in fact, Best of Southern Utah. I think it was 6 years in a row or something like that. But Heartlight, by the way, it's AG approved, now has a store in Washington City at 504 West Buena Vista Boulevard. Now, they have a different take on end of life. Everybody's sad. If you've been to a funeral, you know it's kind of sad and dark and you know. But Heartlight says, you know what, instead of being sad, and you can be sad, of course, but let's celebrate the life that was our loved one. Celebrate the time that we had with him. They have a 24-foot movie screen that you can play a tribute to your loved one. I think that is so cool. They also, of course, they're a full-service mortuary, but it's a little different. They don't have a chapel. They figure most people are going to, if they do have services, they're either going to have a gravesite or they're going to have it at a local church. So they don't even have a chapel, but they have big screen TVs. They have recliners. They have this beautiful, white, bright space right there on Buena Vista. It's Heartlight Funeral Services. Their tagline is Life Celebrated. I love it. Heartlight Funeral Services is located at 504 West Buena Vista Boulevard. Heartlight Funeral Services is AG approved.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. This is the Andy Griffin Show. We're talking water today. Carrie Rathje is here. She is the, public affairs manager, or PAM. And Doug Bennett, he is a conservation manager for the Washington County Water Conservancy District. And Doug, you never gave us any personal about it. Are you married, kids, anything like that?
Yeah.
Grandkids?
So I'm married for 36, my wife might be listening, 36-ish, more than 3.5 decades, Andy.
I've been married. What year did you get married?
I got married in 1987.
Okay.
So
you're probably close to 37. I got married in 88. We're 36. So.
Yeah. Awesome woman.
Kids, grandkids?
I do. I have three grandkids. So I have three grandsons. I'm going to see them all at Christmas. So two of them live in Alaska. One lives in Seattle. And I'm just glad to have them in the same general part of the world.
Yeah, at least they're out west, right?
Yeah.
I complain because my two of my kids live in Taylorsville, which is about 300 miles from here, but at least they're not in Alaska, I guess.
It
could be worse.
It's a little bit to get there.
All right, had someone text in, and we're going to direct this one at Carrie. The question is, could you ask your guests about fluoride in our water and their opinion on the controversy going on about it nationally? Carrie, what say you?
I'm not a fluoride expert. I know that in Washington County, we do not add fluoride to our water.
We do not.
We do not. When you do add fluoride to water, you're targeting 0.7 parts per million. And
that's a very small amount.
Very small amount. We do have some naturally occurring fluoride in our system, and that ranges anywhere from 0.1 to 0.4.
So naturally, meaning it's in the water, coming right from right from the watership.
Right from Mother Nature.
Mother Nature, okay.
So we do have some naturally occurring fluoride in our water supply system, but we are not currently adding fluoride. And I think doing so would require a public vote, if I'm not mistaken.
How hard would that be to do? Doug, you said you've seen it in Nevada, right? Adding it as it flows?
Well, the water agencies are indifferent to the issue. It's a public health issue, but it's not related to our core mission of providing water as a measure of public health. So, you know, if a legislature mandates it, a water agency is going to follow that mandate. So it's, we did put it in the water, and it was controversial in the Las Vegas region, but it was added to water. And I told you during the break, Andy, I got to actually see the device that was dosing the fluoride into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this little tiny, like, few gallon container that had a piece of equipment on it that was dropping these drops into, like, what appeared to me to be millions of gallons of water.
Wow.
And so it's very small dose. But, yes, it's not an issue for us because we think that's one for folks with more expertise to decide. And if an agency that has jurisdiction over us were to say it must be added, then that becomes an issue. But for now, we're providing clean, fresh water, and then it's treated only to make it safe for you to be able to drink.
I don't think any of us in here are an expert on what fluoride would do, positive or negative, to people. But it's interesting to learn that it naturally occurs a little bit anyway.
I know that, like, the dental industry is in favor of it because it, you know, helps with the preservation of your teeth. But I don't know much more beyond
that. But if it's
that.
Already naturally occurring, some of it, then maybe we're naturally getting enhanced smiles here.
Right. and then, of course, it's in a lot of the toothpaste, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I know is, so I've been a writer for, a journalist for 30 years, and fluoride, I always thought was spelled F-L-O-U. It is not as F-L-U-O. Contrary to, I know. It's like, what? Yeah. That doesn't even make sense.
Well, thank goodness for spell check.
I know.
Right? U before O in this case. So
I probably missed that one.
Yeah.
I still remember getting shot down in a fourth grade spelling bee one time.
No.
It was like horrifying.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, I know I had texted her earlier this morning and I said, you know what might be a little bit fun today is to maybe talk about a few things about the Water Conservancy District that most people aren't aware of. Things that maybe might surprise us. Things that make you go, Carrie, what do you got for us?
Well, I mean, we can talk about a number of things. But I think the one thing that most people don't realize is that your water travels over 100 miles before it gets to your home. It takes 4 hours for us to treat drinking water or, you know, to the standards that meet all of the federal and state requirements.
Okay.
We currently manage more than $1 billion in infrastructure. We have 300 miles of pipeline. We have pump stations, hydropower facilities,
and that's just in our county.
That is just the district system. If you were to add the municipal systems that delivers our water to all of the homes and businesses within their jurisdictions, you're talking thousands and thousands of miles of pipeline.
Wow.
And the really impressive thing that I don't think people realize is that our operations team is 18 people. The 18 people manage $1 billion in infrastructure.
Wow.
They work 365 days a year.
They do.
On Christmas morning, they're out there, you know, checking our structures and facilities and making sure that everything is as it should be. They oversee water quality. They oversee dam safety. They manage the water treatment. It's a phenomenal responsibility that a very small number of very skilled and competent and
dedicated,
hardworking individuals. Our operations manager, Dave Jessup, is a rock star. He has a fan club. You always hear that the best leaders are in the trenches with their crew. And unfortunately,
literally,
literally. And most of our pipeline breaks or failed infrastructure problems, unfortunately, they occur in the middle of the night in freezing weather or on holidays or weekends. And our crew is there. They're responding. Yeah. They're showing up. And Dave is right there with them. Our operations crew deserves a lot of credit. They're kind of the behind-the-scenes team that makes sure you have a safe, reliable water system every time you turn on your tap. They deserve more credit.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Andy.
Yeah.
When's the last time your water quit running?
Never. I remember out of the county, I lived in places and it didn't stop, but it turned weird colors and stuff.
We don't have that here.
But in Washington County, no, it hasn't happened. No.
How often has your power gone out in the last year?
A few times.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Enough said. I'm not going that's actually one of our threats in a way. So doing water conservation, getting people to think about water and value it. One of our threats is it's always been there, right? So people are very, in a lot of respects, have become very complacent about it because it's such a reliable service. And we consider, you know, any outage where you have to turn off the water, and it does happen in individual neighborhoods. You'll have a rupture, and you have to isolate that rupture, and you sometimes have to interrupt people's service. But it doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. We take it really seriously. But I feel like that's creates the challenge of complacency,
yeah,
which is one of our threats.
So I have a story related to that, maybe to illustrate it. When I was in high school, I was a lineman. I blocked for a kid who ran for 2,000 yards in one season. That's an amazing number when you think about it. Played 10 games. That's 200 yards a game. He was All-State. He got, you know, picture in a paper. He got interviewed on TV. Us five guys that blocked for him all season long, never got interviewed once. Never had one person, you know, hey, I want to talk to the lineman that made it so this guy could run for all these yards. I think it's the same kind of thing. People kind of take the old lineman for granted. They take water, you know, and that it turns on every time we need it for granted.
And so much, I mean, we have some of our infrastructure is visible. You can see Quail Creek Reservoir. You can see the dam as you're traveling to Hurricane. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's visible. Sand Hollow is part of our infrastructure. The most visited state park in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
And that's part of your water supply. But you don't see most of those thousands of miles of pipes, whereas we look out the window and we look, oh, well, there's the electric company. They got wires on poles, right?
Yeah.
So our infrastructure is also invisible. And so when you tell people that we want to build $1 billion worth of stuff, they're like, where's the stuff?
It's
in a hole in the
billion dollars of what? It's underground. Yeah.
And our 20-year plan requires that we more than double that investment in infrastructure. We're looking at well over $1 billion for the regional reuse purification system.
Wow.
Which is critical to our future. That will allow us to capture and treat our sewer flows and treat that to a level where it can be used for outdoor irrigation of, you know, parks, golf courses, schools, cemeteries, residential neighborhoods. We do that now. We've actually been treating our reuse in Washington County since the 1960s. Hmm. Most people don't realize that.
Wow.
But this will allow us to significantly expand our treatment and the water supply that's available via that resource. And so in the next 20 years, our investments in infrastructure are going to be massive. And that's just required to keep up with the demand that we're seen from growth in our community.
Very cool. Any other surprises for us, Carrie? Things we didn't know about the Water Conservancy District?
What do you want to know, Andy? What other fun facts do we have?
How many people are employed altogether in the Washington County Water Conservancy District?
About 60.
60.
Yeah. So our operations crew, we've got, you know, as I mentioned, they kind of manage the system.
Mm-hmm.
We have an amazing team of project managers that are working to develop the infrastructure that is needed. We have a planning department. I think you've met Bree Thompson, who's just a genius, but she is working on updating our regional water supply master plan that has a 50-year planning horizon. That's, I think, one of the things people don't realize is how long it takes to secure the permits required to build infrastructure.
Yeah.
We sometimes get criticized for developing things before they're needed. And we just don't have the luxury of waiting. Chief, I know that Zach has talked about this in his interviews, but Chief Toker Reservoir, which is a fairly small reservoir project in Tokerville, took over 20 years of environmental analysis before we got the permits.
Our good friends with the environmental studies.
It's an extensive amount of work, and it's an extensive amount of money. And so we do have a team that's dedicated to project permitting and environmental analysis. We have a great team. We have Doug's team. And as you can see, you know, Doug's team does so much for our community in terms of leading the state in conservation initiatives.
Well, my favorite thing that we do for this community is we run the Red Hills Desert Garden.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
And just... last year, I think about 130,000 visitors went through that garden. And I think that's something that people don't often associate with the water district. They think it's, they know it may be run by government, but they don't know exactly who does it. That's staff of the water district that do that.
And you're in for a treat because Holiday Lights kicks off this week.
Is it tomorrow night, right?
Thursday
night?
I think it starts...
Yeah, I think Ryan's turning those on Thanksgiving night.
I think that we turn those on Thanksgiving night, and it runs through January 1st. But it is absolutely beautiful to see more than 5,000 plants that's decorated in holiday cheer. It's just a festival of lights. It's great. It's one of my favorite annual traditions. The conservation team does a phenomenal job.
Yeah. Tip of the hat to them for sure.
Yeah.
They've been working hard, and they're over there right now trying to get it all done. So
when I was driving to the radio program, they were out there setting up all the lights.
Yep. If it was snowing right now, they'd still be doing it.
Yeah. Rain or shine, our crew's outside working. They really are, whether it's the conservation department or the operations crew.
We are pretty lean and mean, honestly, Andy, because I came from a really big organization, right? And so the Las Vegas region serves 2.3 million people, and we have about a tenth of that here. And when I got here, I was so used to having like a fleet department that took care of our cars and stuff like that. I mean, if you had a flat tire, elves came in the night and repaired it, right?
Yeah.
And I got here and it started raining one day. Yeah, so 23 was really wet. And one of the employees comes in and they go, "Hey man, the wiper blades are just shot. I can barely see out the window." And I go to my coworkers because I'm new here and I go, "Hey, the car needs new wipers. Who do I tell about that?" And they said, "Well, you go down to O'Reilly's, Doug, and you get windshield wipers."
And if you're lucky, you'll get someone that will help put them on for you so you don't have to do it yourself.
Because it's gotten complicated now. Yeah, Some cars you actually have to push a button and have the wipers go to a certain position and all kinds of stuff. So
this is why we need a Doug. He's a jack of many trades. What he brings to the table is if he doesn't know how to do it, he will figure it out.
Yeah.
But he's done everything from change windshield wiper blades to fix the ice machine to try and fix the ice machine in the freezer. We're still working on that one. Yeah. But he has taken on more than his share of work too for the better good of our staff. He's great.
I love working for the people in this community. So.
Yeah.
Let me get the quick commercial break in. More with Carrie and Doug after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It is a rare thing on the Andy Griffin Show that we actually get Carrie Rathke to talk on the air. She is here every month when Zach Renstrom comes in, but I always say, "Hey, can we turn your mic on today?" She's like, "No, I'm good."
You sound awesome on the radio.
You do great, Carrie. Yeah.
And they don't get to see your beautiful smile.
That's right.
And my comfy clothes today because I'm prepping for Thanksgiving. But here we are. I enjoy coming. I really do. It's great to interact with the community, and we're very grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here every month.
Got to ask you guys a question, all right? We have a sponsor that they're playing a lot of commercials right now. It's a plumber, and he talks about, "Well, we're ready for you when you clog up the pipes because of Thanksgiving."
Oh, no.
And I like, okay, what do they mean? And they say, you know, the turkey grease and all that stuff. So
potato peels. Do not
peels.
Do not put potato potato peels in a garbage.
Thank you.
I've
been telling my wife that for 35 years.
Anything that can go in the trash should go in the trash. Yeah. Do not try to jam it down. My wife, who I hope now is not listening, got flowers, right? Bought some flowers, cut the stems to length, and tried to put all the stems. And I'm like, there's a trash can. What are you doing?
Yeah, so, I've been telling my wife for years, she'll peel an orange or a banana or potatoes, and she'll put it in the disposal. I'm like, no, those go in the trash can, yeah, dear. Yeah. We don't need to clog our sinks up and our pipes and... And then she's got, so get the spatula or something, start jamming them in there. Come on, get down there. No.
Well, the reason I brought up potato peels is I had to, at a friend's house, we were having a Friendsgiving, and my friend stuffed a bunch of potato peels down there, and then he clogged up the pea trap coming out of the garbage disposal. Sure. I had to get under his sink, dismantle all the plumbing.
He's the water guy. Make him do it.
Yeah. Clear the potato peels out. So when you said Thanksgiving and clogged pipes, I was like, I've actually been there before, but it was not of my making. So
yeah,
but I got to be a little bit of a hero that day because that would have been a huge problem.
He saved Thanksgiving. Yeah.
you're like the reformed Grinch. You saved it all. Yeah. Way to go. Carrie, you're not going to put any potato peels in the disposal, are you?
Absolutely not.
Okay, not now.
No. I actually rarely use my disposal, so much so that it's actually, I think, kind of got a little bit stuck. But yes, I was raised by a farm boy from Nebraska, and so you don't shove things in places they shouldn't go, and so we...
Well, you had garbage disposals on the farm. It was chickens and pigs.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
just other members of the family.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of composting, a lot of, waste recycling or disposal. I rarely use the disposal.
Big plans, Carrie, Thanksgiving? Are you cooking? You said you're getting ready for Thanksgiving?
We have food assignments.
Oh, okay. No, I like that.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's everybody shares. The responsibility, and so we'll my family's all in Vegas, and so I'll be heading
going
to Las
to
Vegas.
Okay, what's your assignment?
My assignment this year is the green bean casserole with the French onion topping. That's yummy. It's delicious, but you usually only have it for Thanksgiving, and I'm not sure why we don't make it more often.
That's good. Yeah,
I have that and a pie.
Okay,
so those are my responsibilities.
You guys, when you eat green beans, do they squeak on your teeth?
If they're not cooked enough, they do.
I don't know. That's the problem I have. I always have this
squeaky.
My teeth squeak on green beans. It's I don't know how widespread that problem is. I'm just trying to get a handle.
I think it's unusual,
it.
Yeah. But I found that happens to me when they're not, when they're still a little bit
undercooked.
Yeah. If they're cooked all the way, and that's why I actually prefer canned green beans. I know that's terrible, but because I know that they're going to be cooked all the way.
Our most popular dish is pomegranate salad, which I have learned since moving to Southern Utah is actually supposed to be called Dixie salad.
Dixie salad, that's right.
But I grew up, my grandparents lived here. I grew up my whole life thinking that it was just pomegranate salad. And in Vegas, that's a very unique dish. A lot of people are very confused about what pomegranate. See, Doug's looking at me and shaking his head. It's their Southern Utah roots, but pomegranate salad is delicious. And
I think pomegranates are the Rubik's cube of fruits.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
put it in with pineapples and apples and whipped cream, and it's delicious. It's a beloved dish.
What about you, Andy?
I am a big time meat smoker. I love to put things on my Yoder smoker. And so this year I'm doing a pulled ham, but we also have some pork shoulder it needs to be cooked now or it's going to go bad. So I'm going to do a bunch of that too and try not to detract from the turkey that my daughter-in-law is making. So mine will be side stuff, but it's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be great.
So
it's the best holiday of the year, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I mean, it's like no gifts, no expectations other than food,
so
family,
much food.
Little football maybe, and it's just full of joy. So, always my favorite. In fact, I'm getting a little, I feel like Christmas is starting to encroach on Thanksgiving, and it's making me anxious.
I agree.
Yeah.
Fun fact for you guys. The song Jingle Bells.
Mm-hmm.
The writer of Jingle Bells, his name was Pierpont or something. Anyway, he wrote the song as a Thanksgiving song. It was, if you'll notice, if you think about the lyrics of Jingle Bells, never once does it mention Christmas or presents or tree, anything like that. He wrote it as a Thanksgiving song. Unfortunately, you mentioned Christmas and cursing. Christmas stole Jingle Bells away, and it is now a Christmas song. And but he wrote it to celebrate, you know, riding in a one-horse open sleigh in the snow.
I'm playing that tomorrow.
Me and all of your listeners are right now singing Jingle Bells in our head.
Bouncing through the snow.
Yeah. I'm like trying, I'm like, where is the Thanksgiving connection? That's interesting.
The original name of it was A One Horse Open Sleigh. Okay. Jingle Bells was, all of us lazy Americans went, we should call it Jingle Bells. It's easier.
Yeah.
And so we did. So there we go. I don't know of any other Thanksgiving songs. In fact, my sister was asking me the other day, can you name a Thanksgiving song? And I told her the story about Jingle Bells, but I really couldn't think of any others. But
Adam Sandler has a very popular Thanksgiving song.
Does he?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know that one.
Probably, unique demographic on that one, but
yeah, well, he's a unique guy.
Yes, definitely.
All right, well, Doug, it's been a pleasure meeting you. And how long have you been in the area now?
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half. Yeah. Okay, so you're not a rookie, but you're pretty new here.
Yeah, but I'm 100% Utahn now.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
100%.
We're glad
we
you're
got
here.
Him.
I'm imported, but I'm 100% Utahn.
Thank goodness. We're so blessed. As you can see, can you see why I brought him with me?
Yeah, Candy? Absolutely. I will say this, Doug. You're a year and a half. You probably feel a little bit like a newcomer. I've been here 30 years. I still kind of feel like a newcomer sometimes because there are people here who have been here 50, 60, 70, their whole lives.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you know, one of the things I often say, Andy, is like the job I'm doing, I'm doing it for you, whether you've been here for five generations or 5 days.
Yeah.
Right? True. I mean, that's how we look at all of this. So
very true. Very true. Yeah, we love it here for sure. And, you know, for those who have been here their whole lives and those who are fairly new, you know, we're glad you're here. And it's a great place to be for sure. Great
place to be. We're blessed, definitely.
We should be thanking at Thanksgiving, right? We're thankful that we're here.
Absolutely.
So, Doug, thanks for the good work you do. Carrie, it's a pleasure to have you
thank
with your
you.
Microphone on.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Hey, Andy, can I say one thing?
Sure. You got 30 seconds.
All right. Happy birthday, Cheryl Cultus.
Okay. Happy birthday, Cheryl.
That's my former coworker of 20 years, and today's her birthday. And she's
Doug's,
listening,
it
Andy.
Was Doug's birthday yesterday, so
really?
Happy birthday to Doug.
Yes. He's 38 years old.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.